get to do the first reading this week. It is from the book, The Acts of the Apostles. It is the second chapter, 14a, and then we skip over to 36 and 41. May we have ears open to hear God's holy word, and hearts open to receive what we may hear, and hands and feet to be able to do the things that we hear. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed the crowd. Peter says, "Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond any doubt that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Messiah and sovereign." When they heard this, they were deeply shaken. They asked Peter and the other disciples, "What are we to do?" And Peter replied, "You must repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, that your sins may be forgiven, that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was to you and to your children that the promise was made, and to all of those still far off whom God calls." In support of his testimony, Peter used many of the arguments and kept saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." They are convinced by his arguments, and they accepted what he had said, and they were baptized. That very day, about 3,000 were added to the number of those converted.
My reading this morning is from the book of Luke, one of the four Gospels. So I wanted to do a little bit of research. Find out that Luke was a Gentile. Unlike the other three Gospel writers, he was not of Jewish descent. And his purpose was to open up the following of Christ to all people, to all folks. So he's not just writing to the Jewish population to bring Israel back together, but he felt that the words which Jesus had set forth and the programs which Jesus had put forth were for all people. And as I read that, I was thinking of the words that we say at communion, and we say here, all are welcome. And that was one of the things that Luke was trying to broadcast to the world. He was also somewhat of a scholar. He was a physician, and he was a good friend of Paul. He was not one of the disciples, but he was a good friend of Paul, and they traveled around together, and he did a lot of research, spoke with a lot of witnesses, and then he compiled both the book of Luke, which our extract today comes from, but he also wrote the book of Acts, which we have just heard from. So now we're going to read and listen about the trip of two disciples on the road to Emmaus. "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came upon and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together on your walk?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all of the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen.
So there is a short story by Alan Dugan written for Poetry magazine called April. And I found it while I was preparing for today. It unequivocally describes spring here in the northwest corner of Michigan. I will share the story with you. The old man in shining black, with an immense black umbrella, walked down the street like the younger brother of the shadow of death. Each house, as he passed, pulled down the shades. Each tree, as he passed, withdrew its buds. Then, on the corner, as the rain stopped, he stopped, and he walked back up the street, the shadow of death disappearing as he closed his overpowering umbrella. The buds popped out, the windows opened, and as one bird sang and one child shouted, and all that was left was the black skeleton of the brother of the shadow of death to laugh at, and yes, to stone. Be careful. This is April. It might rain again, and the shadow and its slapstick brother might move up and down the spring-bursting, bud-laden, totally confused street all afternoon, singing, "Danger! Laughter! Danger! Laughter!" The end. It is hard hit in the hard hit snow areas. April is like that. There is danger and there is laughter, and it goes back and forth. I've heard many people today say that there is water in their basements. Pipes have broken, roads are washed out, there is danger, but there is laughter as I share pictures of my daffodils popping up, that people are like, "There is hope, there is laughter, the irises are starting to poke up." Still waiting for my tulips. It's no wonder that T.S. Eliot wrote that April is the cruelest of the months. But let's go back to church now that we've had our weather lesson. But life in many ways is April. To be human is to dance between laughter and danger and back again. It might rain again this afternoon. It might even, please no, snow again tonight. Today's projected high is 36 degrees. But then again, we have little spots of blue bursting through the clouds. Catastrophe might befall us today. Well, we might learn some absolutely beautiful, wonderful news. It might happen at the very same time. Laughter, danger. And that is what we see this morning with the two disciples. It's how the story begins. They're walking away. They're walking away. They're not walking in faith. They are not walking with triumph, but with departure. They are leaving Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus. In the Gospel of Luke, the road to Emmaus is not a victory march. It's a retreat, a slow, heavy walk away from Jerusalem, away from hope, away from everything that they thought that they knew. Now remember, this story is actually happening on the very same day that Mary and the other Mary have been to the tomb, so it's still Easter day in this story, right? It's not 2 weeks past like we're living now. It is that day. They're walking away from the hope of everything. These two disciples are talking as they go. They're replaying the events, trying to make sense of the senseless of the past week. So they've gone from Monday, Thursday through Good Friday and Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter morning, and now they're in Easter evening. They had hoped, is what the gospel reading said. You heard that. Hoped with a D, past tense. Hope had already been buried. Luke tells us that they walk 7 miles, and I like to put things into context. That's like walking from here to Trinity Lutheran Church in Frankfurt, to Dyer Mills Road out on 115, or Honor on Onekama Building Supply is 6.2 miles from here. So you got to go to the other side of that, probably down to Platte River Inn, someplace in there. It's a long enough walk for the grief to settle into their bones. It's a long enough walk for the conversation to circle back in on itself. Long enough for despair to feel like it is the only honest thing that is left in their day. And then this person joins them. Some versions call it a stranger. Some people just say this other person walking comes and joins them. Where he comes from, I like to say, is a good question. Is he coming in on a side street? Is he just walking from behind and catches up? But this stranger joins them. They don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. The risen Christ, Jesus, walks beside them, listens to their grief, hears their confusion, and they have no idea who he is. They don't know because their expectations have blinded them. They are caught up in all the other stuff going on. They thought that resurrection would look like triumph, like power, like clarity. Things would be put right. Instead, it looks like a stranger on the road asking a lot of annoying questions. Why are you so sad? What do you mean things have happened? Right? And isn't that how life often is? We look for God in the certainty. We look for God in answers, in control. But more often, God meets us in the questions, in the walking, in the long conversations where nothing is resolved, yet everything slowly changes. Alan Dugan's short story, April, lives on that same kind of road. It's not the story of arrival. It's the story of in between. April is mud, thaw, uncertainty, and the stubborn, slow progress and progression of life coming back. It snows, it melts, we shovel, it rains, it floods, we have flowers. It is unsettled. It's half formed. The world is shifting. It's not yet clear. Winter has not fully released its grip, and spring has not fully taken its hold. It's not dramatic. It's not glorious. It just is. But isn't that where most of life happens? In the just is. The road, the Emmaus road, is an April road. The disciples are between despair and understanding, between death and resurrection, between what was and what will be. They don't see clearly, but something is happening. Now, backtrack, we know that the Bible is full of such roads where things happen. Abram leaves his home to travel into the unknown. The Israelites wander through the wilderness. The prophets are walking into places of resistance. Jesus' entire ministry is on the road. And then we have chapters upon chapters of him as he faces Jerusalem to walk to his death. Roads are never just about getting somewhere. They're about becoming someone. Abram becomes Abraham, the father of many religious traditions, generations and blessings beyond sands of grains of sand and stars in the sky. The Israelites wander until they find a home that they can claim for themselves to gather back together. From Isaiah to Jeremiah to Amos, prophets walking into disruption and resistance. Jesus' entire life, becoming the risen Christ. The Emmaus Road is not about reaching the village. It's about the slow rekindling of hope. It's about hearts burning within before eyes are ever open. Did you catch that in the scripture, that they say their hearts knew before their minds knew? Something is stirring long before understanding arrives. And we too are the people on the road. We too are there. We walk the roads that are not heroic, but necessary. We walk the roads of routine, of disappointment, of I thought life would look different by now. Roads of I don't know what comes next. Individually, we walk roads of grief and healing, of doubt and discovery, roads where we say, I had hoped, in the past tense. Collectively, as community, as people here in this building and outside these four walls, we walk roads shaped by history, both beautiful and broken, roads of progress and resistance, roads where truths long ignored begin to surface. Like the disciples, we often walk these roads trying to interpret what has happened to us. We ask, what does this mean? Where is this going? Where is God in all of this? We should always ask, where is God on this road? And like the two disciples, we don't always recognize the present that is walking beside us. The turning point in the story this morning, though, doesn't happen on the road. I think it's really cool. It happens at the table. At the table, they invite the stranger in, these two disciples. They say, the day is long. The sun is setting. The journey has been hard and arduous, and it's been an emotional day. Why don't you come on in, have some supper with us, sit, relax, be. They sit down. The stranger, this other person, breaks the bread and blesses it, and suddenly they see. And then Jesus is gone. Poop! Just like that, I think as quickly as he shows up on the road, he just vaporizes out of the space. It's like being in the upper room behind closed doors. He just goes. It's almost cruel, isn't it? They finally see, and I'm sure they want to talk, and B, and Jesus is gone. As they recognize him, he disappears. And I think that might be the point, though, because now they know how to see. It's more with just their eyes. Not just in one moment, but in all of the moments now, they can see more clearly. They saw in the hospitality, in being in community, in shared meals, in ordinary acts of life supporting each other. The road taught them to recognize what had been there all along. And what do they do next? After inviting the stranger to stay with them because the road was getting too dangerous at night, the sun was going down, They turn right around and they go back. So the sun has set. It's the same 7 miles that they've got to travel back to Jerusalem. The same road that they had walked in sorrow, they now run in hope. The same road, same distance, same world, but totally different hearts. That's resurrection work. Not changing the road, but changing how we walk it. So here we are today, somewhere on that road. Maybe we're walking away from something that didn't turn out as we had hoped. Maybe we're stuck in that April season of uncertainty, muddy, flooded basements, unfinished work. Maybe we're walking the road trying to make sure of a world that feels like it's shifting under our feet, make sense of the world that is shifting under our feet. And maybe, just maybe, we're not as alone as we think we are. Because the promise of the Emmaus story is not that we will always recognize Christ immediately. It is the fact that Christ is always beside us. In our conversations, in our confusion, in our slow, uncertain footsteps as we move forward. We are called to be Emmaus companions to one another, to walk with those that are grieving, to listen to those that feel unheard, to break bread with those that feel alone, to help another recognize the holy in the ordinary, to turn around together and walk towards justice, towards compassion, towards community, to walk together towards hope. May we pay attention to the road. May we pay attention to the stranger. May we pay attention to the moments when our hearts stirs and our minds don't quite yet understand. Because resurrection rarely arrives all at once. We've had Easter, we've now got 2 weeks, we've got 3 more weeks before we get to Pentecost. It is the Easter season and Jesus continues to show up in these stories. Resurrection comes like April, gradually, unevenly, easy to miss, until suddenly you look back and you realize the whole time that every step of the road, you are never, ever walking alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.